little bit of an introduction before we hear the text. Because we are about to hear the story of how the Christian faith got started. Today is why, this story that we hear today is why we call this year 2018 and not 5,778. It wasn't Jesus' birth or even his death on the cross that started Christianity. It was what happened on the third day. The biggest surprise that ever happened, God's cosmic surprise party for all of us. And of course, this year, with Easter landing on April 1st, aka April Fool's Day, for the first time since 1956, which I have to know was 62 years ago without doing the math, because that was the day my husband was born. And the heavens opened. This year, we get to consider the empty tomb as God's April Fool's joke to all the world. April Fool's, he's not dead. Heavenly hilarity. Yes, God's divine, ironic sense of humor calls us to life and to laugh. Lighten up, people. I've got this. Okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. This morning's scripture does not resemble anything like a fun surprise party, especially in Mark. You've probably heard this Easter story before. It is told in each of our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in four different ways. This morning is our year to listen to Mark's telling. He was the first one to write it down, and Mark's Easter story may surprise you. It's not the one we usually think of or gravitate to. There's no conversation between Jesus and Mary in the garden. No mystical walk with Jesus to Emmaus. No miraculous catch of fish or breakfast with Jesus. None of that. Mark's telling is short and raw and real. So let's try to let those other tellings of the story go for the moment and listen now to what Mark has to say about what happened on the third day after Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children to come forward now for discovery time. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord is risen. Happy Easter to all of you. just in time. So this is a special day. What makes today so special? What happened today that we're excited about? It's Easter. And why do we, what is Easter? What happened on Easter?
God lives.
Yes, God lives because God raised who?
Jesus
from the dead. That's right. So we are now going to pretend that we are those women that went to the tomb, okay? So we're going to walk over to the tomb. So let's all stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to pretend that we're those women, that we're going to the tomb early, early in the morning. Okay, so they're going to this graveyard. So we're going to, well, how do you think they felt going to this graveyard where they were thought, follow me, don't be scared. How do you think they felt?
Nervous.
Oh, I'm sure they were nervous. What else?
I don't know.
Have you ever been to a graveyard? It's a little scary. Sad. They were sad and they were scared because of what they were about to do. And they were also wondering, because this was a kind of tomb that had a big stone in front of it, was like a cave. Who will roll the stone away? So let's all say that together. Who will roll the stone away?
Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.
Do you know what the women did when they heard this angel? They were like totally freaked out. They turned around, and it says they fled, they ran. So we're all going to run back to where we started. We're running away. That was really scary. Kind of confusing, really scary. Okay, so have a seat, and I want you all to show me, either with your face or your body or with the word, what you feel like, what you say, what you look like when you're scared, okay? 1, 2, 3. What? They were scared. They didn't know what was going on. Maybe it was good, but it sure wasn't what they were expecting, okay? That's what happened that first day. So let's now have a prayer. We're going to start this prayer by taking a big breath in. Everybody, big breath out. Let's breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's love for others. One more time, a little deeper. Breathe in God's love just for us who knows us by name. And then breathe out God's love for all of creation. And now you can repeat after me. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for this amazing day. For this amazing day. We thank you for those women who went to the tomb. We thank you for those women who went to the tomb and for what they discovered and for what they discovered. Help us to discover your love. Help us to discover your love. Amen. Now you can put your offering in the blessing box and go back to the seats, right? There's no Sunday school, right? Yeah. More to come. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, and the actions of our lives be attuned to thy spirit, O God, our rock and our risen Redeemer. Amen. So is that any way to end the gospel? Mark leaves us with three women fleeing the tomb, barely able to get a grip on themselves, for terror and amazement seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. End of story. End of gospel. This is the unedited version. That's great, Mark, but surely you meant to write more down. Or maybe you did and somehow it got lost. We know you were in a hurry when you wrote this gospel down. Doesn't the amazing, incredible news of God raising Jesus from the dead, God conquering death and sin once and for all, doesn't this good news of salvation deserve a better, more triumphant ending? Well, that's what the early editors of the Mark manuscript thought. In fact, they were so convinced that Mark's ending was incomplete and imperfect, they quickly added a better, more fitting ending. It's in our Bibles. What's known as the shorter ending wraps up where we did at verse 8. The longer ending continues through verse 20. However, most scholarly authorities have come to the conclusion that whether we like it or not, Mark's original authentic gospel ends where we did today at verse 8. That's right. It ends with the women running away in terror at what they had just been told. The other three gospel writers gave us endings we like better. They appear to be more complete. Matthew gives us 20 verses, Luke 53, and John 45 verses, telling the story with more amazement and flourish than Mark about what happened on the third day and thereafter. Those are the endings we like, the kind where they all lived happily ever after. You know, like in Cinderella, in Lion King, in Finding Dory, Beauty and the Beast, or Coco. We love those stories. We love to watch them over and over. Hollywood will tell you we prefer happy endings. We like them neat and tidy and wrapped with a bow. So most of us would happily choose Matthew, Luke, or John's telling of what happened on that third day, on the day of Jesus' resurrection. But this is our year for Mark, and it leaves us hanging, and it's messy. And while it may not have the Disney ending we long for, this original ending of Mark's gospel, I think, is closer to where we really live. We don't have to work hard to relate to those women at the empty tomb, hurt, broken, brokenhearted, grieving, confused, trying to take care of business in the best way they know how, through the tears. We know about messy lives and messy endings. It almost seemed as if they didn't hear what the young man in the tomb dressed in the white robe said to them, because he said, "Do not be alarmed. He has been raised. Go tell his disciples he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." But see, the women had gone to the grave expecting an ending. They went to embalm the dead body of their Lord, stressing about how they would roll away the very large stone. And when they got there, the surprise was on them. It was too big, perhaps, for them to grasp. Yes, they were told amazing news, but did they hear it? This man in the white robe was trying to tell them, "Fear not, he's got you. And he's going ahead of you, leading you forward, leading you from death to life, giving you and all of humankind unconditional grace to begin again, to reboot, to start over, to abide more fully and eternally with the one who went to hell and back for us. Yes, he who has been in the deepest valley is also the one who is going ahead of us to lead us forward into that scary thing we call the future." Did they hear it? Well, at some point they must have told someone, or else we wouldn't all be sitting here in the sanctuary today. Somehow they started telling someone. But if you think about it, it's really hard to know how we got from the third day terror and amazement silence to where we are today. How did our faith, how does our own walk with Jesus begin? Jesus, who is waiting there in Galilee, ahead of us, waiting for us, ready for us. How did that begin? Back in 1949, When my dad and mom were just beginning my dad's first pastorate in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the church there was very excited about the news that my mom was pregnant with their first child and decided to throw a surprise baby shower for her. Well, of course, my dad was in on it, helped to engineer this big surprise for my mom, who actually didn't think anyone knew she was pregnant because she was hardly showing at the time. And of course, back then, such things were not quite so openly discussed as they are now. So as the story goes, my mom walks into this church basement. It's dark. The lights come on. They all yell, "Surprise!" Which, in fact, she was surprised and extremely embarrassed, only to hear my dad say in a loud and proud voice for everyone to hear, "I suppose you're wondering how all this got started." Okay, this was 1949. So first there was a stunned silence, then a little ripple of giggles, developing into this thunderous, kind of like you guys, thunderous, uproarious laughter. And as my mom tells the story, she felt like she was standing there naked in front of 100 parishioners. And there was nothing that my smooth-talking, unflappable father could say to diminish the effect of his gaffe. As much as we like to talk about and celebrate beginnings, the birth of babies and grandbabies, weddings, baptisms, ribbon cuttings, opening day of baseball, God is the one who started and starts everything good. It's already in the works, even long before we can see it or imagine it. But like the women at the tomb, too often we're focusing on that large stone, wondering who's going to roll that stone away, when if we get ourselves to the right place at the right time and remember to look up, we will see that it has been rolled back already. Jesus has gone ahead of us, laying the bridge from where we are to where Christ would have us be. When I was young, I used to hate it when I got in a fight with my sister Lynn, who was only 2 years older than I. I would get so mad, and I would be so sure that I was right. And she would get this superior, "I'm always going to be older than you and bigger and smarter than you," look on her face. And I would run to Mom, Lynn following close behind, each of us eager to explain how it was all my sister's fault because she started it. My mom would wait for both of us to stop talking, and then she would say, "I'm not so interested in who started it. I want to know who's going to end it." That used to make me so mad. But of course, when I became a mom, there I was saying the very same thing to our children as they were growing up. But that is exactly the question that I hear God calling out to us, particularly this Easter with this gospel. I hear our mother, father, parent, God saying to us, "I'm not so interested in who really started this epidemic of school shootings or church shootings or nightclub or movie theater shootings. I'm not so interested in how young black men and women like Stephon Clark in Sacramento on March 18th was shot in the back multiple times while being black and holding a cell phone in the backyard with his grandmother. I'm not so interested in how the nuclear arms race that could annihilate this whole world that I have so loved began, or how the harmful climate change of this beautiful planet that I have created got started. I want to know who will end these travesties." None of these ways we continue to crucify Jesus have simple solutions. Blame and responsibility travel in multiple directions. But we know because of Jesus' work on the cross that he is with us, behind us, and ahead of us, and especially all who suffer shame, humiliation, and injustice, all who are marginalized and oppressed and exploited. That's where Jesus is. As Nelson Mandela once said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." The confirmands and we adults who accompanied them on their urban immersion service retreat in Minneapolis were struck by this quote. It was on the on the wall in the dormitory where we stayed. And here's the truth of this day. The empty tomb tells us he is risen. God has opened the door on endless possibilities for turning what seems like death, death and only death, into a beginning already started. God the Creator can spread a table in the wilderness, wherever or however far out in the wilderness you may feel or you may see our country or our world careening toward. God has already surprised us with the impossible. Now it is up to us. Let's see if we can do Mark and God and Jesus the favor of continuing that 16th chapter of doing what seems impossible, because Jesus is already leading us, going ahead of us, calling us forward. Amen.